God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Yeah, and then some. Greetings, Earthlings. We're transmitting from somewhere this evening. I'm being vague, but that's what my coordinates say. Somewhere. Somewhere. You can't argue with software and expect it to do you any good. We'll just have to accept our limitations. And, hey, why not? Let's accept yours as well while we're at it. We're in the saucer pod as we, well, we always are on the cycling Sunday nights when we arrive here. The front half of the saucer pod, top and sides, are composed of adamantine space glass, which is impervious to everything but my eyes looking out through it, if that makes any sense. It's a truly cool saucer pod, about 5 meters in diameter. It might seem like a small space, but all sorts of things come out of the walls behind me and from up out of the floor, and then they return back where they came from when they're no longer in use. Right now I'm sitting at the command module, which is nearly right up against the glass in front of me. It's 2 meters across and curves to accommodate the glass and contains every function and control you could ask for within the limitations of the human imagination. Just about anything is available at the push of a button, and anywhere I want to go is accomplished just by speaking into the mic. Then the GPS takes over and delivers me. The state-of-the-art radar, which is also a feature, avoids all obstacles, and should we want an obstacle gone, our in-house laser simply disintegrates it into space dust. I will say that the saucer pod is as much at home in the oceans and other bodies of water as it is in space, and also can navigate inside the Earth or any other planet when possible, if there are routes. I have one of my special friends visiting, and that does tend to make my broadcasts a little eclectic this evening, so steady as she goes. Changes. There are so many changes going on, and changes going on in my life, and I'm assuming that the listener out there is going through a great many changes as well, and this is impacting upon my ability to do a radio show tonight. I was not sure that I would even be able to do it because it being Easter and the time of the year, it being the Kali Yuga, it being me, it being my special friends, it being a host of many, many things. But I didn't want to just mail it in. And I've gone through 4 or 5 misadventures trying to get this radio show out. Trust me, It has been a laborious job, but I realize that some of you actually tune in to listen to what I have to say. I still question your judgment, but in any case, I feel like I ought to stand up and deliver. And I don't really feel like I'm in a position to deliver tonight because I'm in such a transitionary phase that it's difficult for me to even be able to focus on what I'm trying to talk about. But I'm just going to tough it out as best I can and hope that you will endure this period with me or shut me off. That's fine just as well. But I have promised myself that I am going to make my way through this broadcast, even if I have to chew my finger off while I'm doing it. I won't say which finger, of course, but anyway. Earlier, you know, when I was composing some notes for this show, which I'm not even any longer using, I had Bad Santa playing alongside on the split screen. Well, at least it wasn't the Bad Lieutenant. And I do that often. You know, I will have, you know, when I'm writing a blog or some kind of a posting or anything that I'm doing, I'll have a movie playing alongside because it takes one part of my mind off into one area and then I'm occupied on the other because obviously I'm a card-carrying schizophrenic and getting both sides of myself to adjust in order for one side of myself to be able to do whatever it does, well, that tends to work out well. It also works well if I don't have a movie playing anyway, but such as the case may be. So this complexity is a bit befuddling to me, and I'm assuming that many of the listeners themselves are having the same thing coming along into their own lives at this time. We are not who we think we are all the time, you know. I think of myself, you know, who I am, the person that I am as I go about my day here and there. But it's not always the same person, if you understand what I mean. And I think this is a thing that we really critically need to look at, you know, is are we that person, you know, all the time? Or are there just really other parts of ourselves, you know, and then we wind up being responsible for, like, them acting out on our behalf, you know, during these periods of time. And it can be very, very rough. That's why holding to the central core is so important. And why I constantly hammer on the idea of surrendering to God, following the bhakti yoga path, following the path of love and devotion and simple surrender, staying away from knowledge, the acquisition of abilities, gaining power, any of these different things. Because in this particular time zone, there are just a lot of greater obstacles in your way at this time. Pure love and devotion, it's hard enough. Okay. And I tend to think, you know, I like to think that things are simple, but I tend to think that we are less simple than we think we are. People have their own feelings about reincarnation, whether that's actually a reality or not. I myself have firsthand, direct, personal evidence of reincarnation. In other words, I remember some of my past lives. For whatever the reasons were, that came about through my Kundalini experience. I mean, I don't know. You know, it could be in my imagination, but I was given to believe that I was Omar Khayyam. I vividly remember being him in a courtyard in Persia and interacting with the very people that I later found out that he interacted with, which kind of corroborated my story to myself, because I didn't know about the details at the time, although I did, in fact, know about him. And because the Kundalini experience and my meeting, my discovering Omar Khayyam, they were very close together in time. And so, you know, they overlapped the discovery process as it goes. Remember another lifetime, I was in China and I was wearing robes. They were yellow and green. And I was standing on a tile ceramic courtyard. And I had my right hand up near my ear. I felt like what I visually recalled then as a Japanese or Chinese figurine that I had once seen, my imagination. And I had noticed a spider crawling across the floor while I was standing there, and it made me kind of tremble. Now, later on, I made connections with that, with the web of Maya and the spinning web of all the things that involve us and engage us in this world. And those are the only two things I remember. Whether they were real or not, I don't know. Maybe I was Napoleon too, who knows. But anyway, it was a surprising experience. But lately, you know, these changes have become so... Well, it's just, you know, try to imagine that you are patting yourself on the head, patting yourself on the tummy, and also patting yourself on the back, but you don't have a third hand, okay? That's the kind of changes situation I'm referring to. And it can become extremely complex, and I'm just really thinking it's probably, given the resonance that has been ongoing between myself and my readers and listeners, that this is probably a shared experience in a lot of ways. And I'll tell you the best thing that I have knowing how to do or learning how to do or trying how to do is to just to stay close to my central internal center, you know, to break down into my more simplistic parts and operate as just as a, you know, almost as if I were a child, kind of, you know, is how I feel lately sometimes. I know it's all to the good. I know all these changes that are coming are positive, but they're so dramatic, you know, and so overwhelming on occasion that they literally take my breath away. I've had some things happen to me in the last 2 days here that if I would even try to explain what they were, just to say that they could 100% confirmed a lot of the things that I had already suspected. And I'm going, oh my God, now what am I going to do? It's all very, very, very good news, you know, but at the same time, you know, it involves relationships and other things. And there's all these changes around, you know, like, well, we have a relationship, you and I do, you know, and eventually all of us won't be here one way or another. And I had to make a certain decision in my mind, you know, whether I wanted to become more a part of this world out here in a useful way, in a helpful way, or whether I was going to head off to Shambhala, because I have a choice in this matter. And it's a critical kind of thing, because one of these things involves a home and a hearth, you know, and a candle in the window and that whole kind of thing. And the other involves a continuance on a very solitary road into the unknown, but which is my ultimate destination no matter what, you see. And so this is what I'm playing with. And I've had people that were going to visit me and such and this and that. Now their plans have been changed because of conditions in their own lives. And but I expect, and he will probably hear this broadcast tonight too. We may meet up yet again too. And, you know, a lot of this is just, it's a great deal of, a lot of things to handle, really. Best way that I can put it right now. And I want to congratulate myself for soldiering on through this event tonight to at least share with you what has been happening to me, because it's fairly dramatic. Anyway, I made my choice about which one I was going to do. So, and of course, I chose a solitary road. So we shall see how that works out. And oh, well, we'll just have to see. I mean, I'm sure I can unchange the choice or whatever, but that's how it sits now at this moment. And, oh, well, this is Easter. I should have been talking about resurrection. I know Ken O'Keefe is catching a lot of grief from the powers that be, and I wish he could use our help. If you would, any of you out there in planetary space, any of my visible friends, I'd ask you on this Easter Sunday to dig into your coffers of love and support and help our friend with your thoughts and prayers and actions and what have you. Okay? Anyway, that's it. I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, Hare Krishna, aloha, and aloo!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.